when his son, Donald Trump Jr., delivered what I thought was a very, very impressive speech. Best speech made in the whole campaign about Donald Trump. So Donald Trump, tomorrow night, when he makes his appearance and makes his address, has a chance to settle the narrative down, make the narrative, I represent change, Hillary Clinton represents status quo, third term of the Obama administration, and so forth. So it's, while it's always important for the candidate, his acceptance speech on the final night of the convention, in my opinion, more so for Donald Trump than it sometimes has been the case in the past.
What do you think Donald Trump represents to our politics today?
I do think he represents change. Some might want to say catastrophic or disastrous change, but change. He definitely makes change. And the choice that the American people are going to have is, yes, Donald Trump definitely represents change, but is that the change we want? Hillary Clinton is left to argue, I too represent change, but stable, rational, informed, experienced change. And, you know, we all kind of kid about conventions, and there's a lot to laugh about here and laugh at yourself about. You and I were talking earlier there, 15,000 reporters here, 15,000 reporters, and all trying to find a story. Most of the time, don't find one.
And all of them with their own camera, their own video camera now.
Yes.
With so many outlets, I mean, that's changed a lot. Everyone has their own.
In a way, every man or woman here can be their own anchor of a news, because with things like Facebook Live, all you need is your gadget, your handheld phone, and the right app, and you can go up and do your own newscast for 2 minutes or 2 hours if you want. And this, by the way, I think is when people say, how did this happen that Donald Trump wound up getting a nomination? Well, a lot of answers to that question, but one of them is that he has seized the digital age. He understands the digital age, and especially the power of the social media. If he's elected, we can and will say of him that he's the first social media president. Not that President Obama hasn't used social media and very effectively before him, but in the same way Presidents Truman and Eisenhower had television available, John Kennedy became the first television president. Franklin Roosevelt was the first radio president, first president not to use it, but to understand its power and how it could be leveraged. And John Kennedy was the first to realize that about television. You can say Trump is the first to fully realize the power of social media. And that's one of the main reasons that he wound up with the nomination.
What do you think of the media coverage of this campaign and of Donald Trump? There's been a lot of critique about the amount of free coverage that Donald Trump has received.
Well, and critique's a very good word, and I think a proper word. Look, overall and in the main, and I do not accept myself from this criticism, the media has not done a very good job of meeting its traditional responsibility in this sense. Donald Trump has played the media like a Stradivarius. He's dominated almost every media cycle. Almost every daily media cycle has been dominated by Donald Trump. And we in the media have allowed him to do that. Don't misunderstand me. I don't mean this critically of him. If anything, it's critical of the media. Because the center of gravity, if you will, for American press, I prefer the word press, but has changed. Not so long ago, those of us in the press, in journalism, considered our job, the party and the candidate would have a message. The conventions were and remain sort of media messaging pageants. They would have their narrative, and they're welcome to it. But as independent journalists, the journalist's job was to stand back, say, well, okay, that's the narrative they want. Let's do investigative reporting. Let's get the facts. And we journalists will set what we consider to be a fact-checked, as close to the truth as humanly possible narrative. In this election cycle, that's gone out the window. Because Donald Trump is magic for ratings numbers, particularly on television. Anytime it appears, the ratings jump up. Ratings mean money. And therefore, those who control the major news outlets fall all over themselves to give Donald Trump coverage. Again, this is not critical of Trump.
Of the media.
He was smart enough to figure it out.
Yeah.
It's critical of the media, but primarily it's critical of those who own and operate the major outlets for true national distribution.
Now, nothing ever happens in a vacuum. Do you think over the last decade, maybe even two decades, we have gone down a path to get us where we are, including the time that you were doing the evening, CBS Evening News?
Yes. Well, it's been the proverbial, almost a cliche, slippery slope. But it all came really crashing to the fore this time because Donald Trump understood the power he had. Donald Trump uses the power of access. What Trump represents says, listen, I, Donald Trump, can jump your numbers. You want me on your program? Fine. But if you ask me too tough of questions, if you follow up too tough of questions, if you really dig in to unpleasant things, I'll scratch you off my list. And for the first time, we've had a presidential candidate who openly threatened to retaliate against the press if he gets elected. As you know, Donald Trump doesn't like some of the coverage that the Washington Post had proposed. And so he openly and publicly said, this is a paraphrase, but in effect, when I get elected president, the Washington Post better look out. That's something unique.
What happens in the media when somebody loses access? I don't mean a paper, maybe even a reporter, a producer, whatever it may be, loses access to someone in the public eye.
Well, they're in peril. First of all, if you lose access, if you're the anchor at a major network and you can't get Donald Trump to come on your program, you're in what Southern sheriffs used to call a heap of trouble. Nobody's going to come to you immediately and say you're out, but you know that your career has been damaged if you can't deliver Donald Trump. Now, clearly, for any thinking person, this creates an inner dynamic within the so-called talent on television. An anchor interviewer says, listen, the boss says, Donald Trump's on network A. He's on three or four times a day because they're courting him and they're giving him more or less sweetheart coverage. We're network B, we have no Donald Trump. And when I contact the Trump people, says your boss, they say, listen, we did one interview with on your network, and the anchor was negative. So forget it. Thank you very much. Hang up. This is the real world, because part of what's happened with American journalism, there was a time, again, not so long ago, that the ethos of American journalism was that, yes, every radio and television station virtually was a commercial operation in business to make money, but at least a wee small part of their programming day was dedicated to public service, not in the service of making money, not in the service of the corporation, but it's a public service. And news was viewed as a public trust to be operated in the public interest. That's all gone now, but all, for the most part, there are a few exceptions. It's now all about the money. Now, you and I, as trying to be decent human beings, can say, well, you know, there are things in life more important than money, and that's true. But the ethos has changed, and the ethos now, it's ratings, demographics, equal money. That's what matters, and that all that matters. It's one reason that we have so little quality international news reported, what used to be called foreign news reporting, and while we have very little and shrinking as we speak, deep-digging investigative reporting.
You worry about journalism? Do you think journalism?
I do worry about it. I'm an optimist by nature and by experience, and I certainly hope that American journalism will get through this period. It's a period of trying to make a transformation.
It's a period of trying to make money. It's difficult to make money. I mean, we're just talking about the money influence in it.
And it is. I would disagree respectfully in one degree that high quality journalism can succeed. It can make money. Generally speaking, it doesn't make money, as much money as doing a program on the Kardashians or putting four people in the room to shout at one another about what's happening in Afghanistan when none of them have ever been there. But there is an audience for quality news of integrity. I'm not here to argue that it will ever be as large an audience as it exists for entertainment programs, but there is an audience that thirsts, hungers for quality news of integrity. But it's very hard in the corporate boardrooms these days to make that argument, because the answer always comes back explicitly, or not implicitly, but not explicitly. Well, you may be right, make money, but it won't make as much money as we can make with entertainment.
Dan Rather, I thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed being with you. Thanks a lot.
And you're listening to Pacifica Radio's coverage of the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm Askia Muhammad with Mitch Jeserich, David E., our crew. And joining us now is Don DeBar, a reporter from WBAI in New York. Boy, you got a close-up view for how many years of Donald J. Trump?
Oh, man, in New York. I've actually faced off against him in the public arena over development projects in Westchester County.
Have you seen, in terms of development projects, is he as bad a landlord as his dad was, Fred Trump was?
I only know of Fred Trump's reputation. I don't have any experience with it. My experience with Trump actually was with Trump the Label. Very often what he did was they would be local developers or regional developers that would do projects, and if they either had political or marketing issues, they would basically lease Trump's name, put a gold, you know, logo on the front, and sell now this apartment building that was before going to be, you know, something Heights or whatever is now another Trump Tower. The same with golf courses.
So the challenge that's facing, oh, the first goofy hat I just saw on the screen, the challenge going forward, the Trumpistas have hijacked the party, some say, the Republican Party, without an ideology. What's next?
I don't know about without an ideology. The question of ideology is one that is, it operates in the theoretical and not the practical. There is an ideology to people, working class people in particular, that say my situation is intolerable and so I'm not going to do the same things I did before. And that phenomenon, I think, has been expressed both in the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, you know, in the form of the campaigns of Trump and Sanders. In terms of the Republican Party itself, I think one of the things that we're seeing is that Trump or that group of people under Trump have accomplished something that the Democrats have been promising us for years, and that is breaking up the Republican coalition led by the Christian right and a bunch of other groups. That's a fait accompli now. You can see it. That they left, Cruz and all of those folks left the political establishment from the Republican Party. That which remains is lining up with Hillary Clinton and the Democrats who are trying to lift up Gary Johnson to take away, you know, to split the vote. I think that's a flat-footed response, and that's going to fail. That what they need to do is offer these people that are in a desperate situation something material. And I think that's what they got to do in Philly, too.
Don DeBar, WBAI News, thank you for being with us on Pacifica Radio's coverage of the Republican National Convention here in Cleveland. Support your local radio station, your non-commercial community radio station, with your contributions.
You're listening to Pacifica Radio coverage of the 2016 Republican National Convention on your local community radio station. Pacifica Radio is proud to partner with community radio to bring listeners like you direct access to voices much like...
The responsibility of putting together this material is fully mine. I did it as honestly as I could.
Thursday, July 21st at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater... As part of the Real Cool Film Series, KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of The Connection.
Do you realize that hardly a day goes by without some item in the daily press concerning narcotics?
In 1962, a movie called The Connection, opened in New York, then closed after two showings. However, the soundtrack was released, and jazz fans collected the album of this mysterious movie.
But imagine anyone wanting to use real junkies just to make a movie. Wow.
Again, that's The Connection, Thursday, July 21st at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hello, KBU members. Thank you for being a part of our amazing community. It takes all of us to manage this great community resource, and role played by the Community Board of Directors is essential. Here's an opportunity for you to join the KBU board and become part of the team that is guiding our daily work and representing the interests and vision of all our members. Please consider applying to become a KBU board member if you want to help serve our community and put your gifts and talents to good use. There is a time commitment for about 15 hours a month for all board members, and you must be a KBU member. To apply, go to kbu.fm/2016boardofdirectors or stop by the station to pick up a paper copy. The deadline to apply is July 24th. We are looking for folks who love KBU, who are committed to our community and want to carry forward KBU's values of peace, justice, democracy, human rights, multiculturalism, environmentalism, freedom of expression, and social change. KBU needs you. Apply today.
This is Pacifica Radio Network's live broadcast to the Republican National Convention, hosted by Mitch Jeserich and Askia Muhammad, plus many other programmers and news reporters from Pacifica and Pacifica-affiliated stations. We'll be broadcasting live until 9 p.m. You're listening to KBU Portland. The time is 6 p.m. KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM. K22